The massive eruption of the Hunga undersea volcano in 2022 blanketed the surrounding seafloor with volcanic ash, and a multinational science team recently crossed the Pacific Ocean to investigate the aftermath. The team's leader, Associate Professor Rebecca Carey from the University of Tasmania, joins us this morning to talk about what they've found just 3 years on from the eruption. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining me this morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Cameron.
So what happened in the eruption and do you know what led to it?
It's a really good question. So the volcano Hunga had been active since around 2009, but that activity had been quite intermittent, and there had been low-level explosive eruptions from that volcano. And I think that the volcanology community just expected that that type of activity would go on. But on January 15, 2022, the volcano erupted in a very powerful fashion. And that eruption is probably the most powerful one over the last 100 years. And so since 2022, a range of different teams have been trying to understand that exact question. What was the precursors to such a powerful event? And that's still a topic of ongoing research.
And how do you find out what's happening down on the seafloor around a volcano? So what are the tools and equipment that you use to go about the research?
It's actually really challenging to do research on the seafloor. And that's because you need specialised research vessels like Australia's national research ship, the RV Investigator, in order to deploy instruments to the seafloor to collect key samples that can answer really fundamental science questions around why volcanoes erupt like they do. And that information then helps to inform how we can predict future volcanic activity. So it's really expensive to do seafloor research. And to get the really targeted samples on the seafloor, you need very specialised pieces of equipment. So things such as remotely operated vehicles are very useful, or the manned submersibles.
And how quickly do you expect the marine environment to recover around the eruption site? And in what ways will the environment change as a result of the eruption?
On our research voyage, we spent about 34 days around the Hunga volcano surveying the seafloor. And so we surveyed the seafloor with an instrument called a multi-beam system. And essentially it maps the seafloor and creates a really high resolution map of the bathymetry of the seafloor. So when we've got that map, we're able to identify what the deposits are on the seafloor. And then we're able to deploy specialised instruments like deep-towed cameras, as well as sediment core type instruments to collect those key bits of the seafloor that we need to answer our science questions. And so during that voyage, what we recognised was that there is still a lot of movement of sediment on the seafloor. This is sediment derived from the 2022 eruption, and that sediment's moving through mass failure, kind of like little landslides, as well as ocean bottom currents, which are constantly moving this material around. And so the landscape down there is very dynamic. And those are important observations, because in order for the seafloor marine communities to recover from this event, because they were completely doused and inundated with volcanic ash in 2022, in order for those communities to recover, they need essentially a static environment such that they can start to recolonise the sediment on the seafloor, and for that sediment not to be moving around, for it to be very stable environment.
And I think I just want to backtrack just quickly, Rebecca. So how does the environment around an eruption site or a volcanic region differ from, you know, your standard seafloor environment? So what are the key differences that people will be seeing there?
So in locations on the seafloor, which are in the photic zone, so that's the upper sort of 1 to 200 metres where light can penetrate the ocean, generally there's a lot of life. And as you get deeper on the seafloor, life becomes a little bit more rarer, potentially, and a little bit less diverse. And so in deep seafloor environments, those environments can consist of a whole bunch of biological species, such as corals and mollusks and other species. But in volcanic environments, where eruptions produce a lot of volcanic ash and that volcanic ash inundates those communities, we expect that those communities suffer because of that inundation of volcanic ash into the environment. And that's exactly what we've seen here, is that within about 88 kilometres of the volcano, we've recognised that because this ash is moving around in a very dynamic way, species just can't get a foothold within that sediment pile in order to become established.
And so what does the volcanic eruption and the subsequent recovery mean for the local communities and for the future of the region?
So one of the things that... So on the deep seafloor, it's really important that those sort of base of the food chain species can recover, because as these species recover, they feed sort of upper order species that essentially get to kind of fish and sharks and things like that. So it's really important that those base of the food chain species can recover in order for those fish species to become abundant and diverse. And that's important because Pacific Island nations really rely on seafood. And so in Tonga, after this eruption, there has been significant impacts to fisheries because the fish just don't have the food source available in order to become abundant and flourish around this area in Tonga.
And just one more question before I let you go, Rebecca. Did you find anything unexpected during your research trip to the area?
Yes, we did actually. So in 2024, the volcano had been surveyed by the New Zealand research vessel, the Tangaroa. And so we resurveyed the same area because the combination of those two surveys enables us to detect change. And what we recognised is that there is a MCG-sized piece of the volcano flank, which has moved in a massive landslide. And at the moment, we're trying to understand when that exactly happened and whether it was that landslide was responsible for one of the tsunamis that impacted Tonga in 2024. And so that's the first bit of research that we're trying to conduct, because that will tell us a little bit more information about whether there is any other parts of the volcano that are susceptible to landslides and future tsunami risk.
Well, Rebecca, and where can people go if you want to keep up with the research and see what's happening as the communities develop and recover from post-volcano eruption?
So we'll be conducting our research and publishing it in scientific journals. But in terms of the public being informed, we'll be reporting to the Australian and the Tongan government. And when those reports are delivered, we'll be providing press releases and hopefully talking to people like yourself to really spread the word about this research and some of the important outcomes that we've got for the Pacific Island nations.
Wonderful. We'll keep our ear to the ground for that, Rebecca. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much.